you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Psalm 105, verse 4. Keep your eyes open for God, watch for His works, be alert for signs of His presence. Psalm 105, verse 4. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, March 26, 2025. We're continuing with yesterday's message, picking up right where we left off. And yesterday and today's title of the program is Habits That Will Help You Hold On During Hard Times. This is part four in a series, Shaping Your Future Self. And yesterday we began learning the importance of keeping your life clean, confessing your sins, keep on keeping on, and learning to have the Lord search our hearts, making us clean as we confess our sins, and then we grow stronger and stronger. Well, he opens up today's program asking you to pray along with him so that you can have a clean heart and be receptive to keeping your eyes open, having vision, and seeing where he's at work so you can take action. So here's Pastor Rick Warren encouraging you to pray along with him as we learn more in this series, Shaping Your Future Self. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
I want us all to just bow our heads for a second. You're not going to have time to confess all your sins right now, but I want you to bow your head and make a commitment to do that this week. Okay, bow your head. And with your head bowed, let me just ask you, what do you need to clean up in your life? What sack of garbage are you carrying? Would you ask God right now, say, God, this week, please show me any sin or any hindrance that's blocking your power in my life. Say that, God, show me this week any sin or hindrance that's blocking your power in my life this week. I commit to sitting down and making a confession list this week. Amen. All right, now that's your homework for this week. Job chapter 17, verse 9, King James Version. The righteous will hold on his way. The righteous will hold on his way, and he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. You want to be stronger and stronger in the days ahead, not weaker and weaker in the days ahead. You want to be spiritually strong, even in tough times, even in difficult days, even in a rough patch in your life. Get clean hands. The Bible says in Psalms, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. You want God's blessing in your life? It starts with habit number one. I keep my life clean. All right? Let's go on to another one. The second habit that helps me hold on in hard times. Number one, I keep my life clean. Number two, I keep my eyes open. Write that down. I keep my eyes open. You need to be more aware, more alert to what God is doing in tough times than in any other time, because God wants to teach you in the middle of tough times. Psalm 105, verse 4 says this in the message, keep your eyes open for God. Are you looking for God in all the stuff that's going on in your life? It says, keep your eyes open for God. Watch for his works. Be alert for the signs of his presence. Now, what we're talking about here, keep your eyes open, be alert, watch. You know what the word for that is? It's vision. It's vision. Most people have a completely wrong understanding of what it means to have vision. One of the most misunderstood terms, all of the leadership books that I've read, and all of the seminars, when you talk about being a visionary, being a woman of vision or a man of vision, let me tell you what it's not. Vision is not predicting the future, because nobody can do that. It's not seeing the future before it happens. Nobody can predict the future. Who predicted 9/11 would happen? Nobody. Who predicted terrorist attacks? Nobody. Who predicted every mass shooting? Nobody. Who predicted the COVID pandemic? Nobody. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less next year or in 10 years. So vision, the idea of vision being able to see the future and plan it, you know, as if it's going to act out that way, it will never happen the way you think it's going to happen. There will always be changes in it. What is vision then? Vision, true vision, is two things. We're talking about keep my eyes open. This is the second habit. It's the habit of vision. Vision is two things. Number one, vision is seeing God at work in your present situation and moving on it, taking advantage of what's happening right now. Vision is not predicting the future. Vision is going, this is how God's working right now. This is what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to respond. Here's how I'm going to take advantage of the situation. I see the wave, and I'm going to catch the wave. Vision is not predicting a wave in 10 years. Vision is seeing the wave that God is doing right now and catching it now. Vision is setting your sail to God's wind that's blowing right now. It's being aware that, oh, it looks pretty bad, but God's in this. You need to stop praying, God bless what I'm doing. And you need to start praying, God, help me to do what you're blessing, and then get vision. Look around. Keep your eyes open. Every morning, I say the same prayer. I say, God, I know you're going to do a lot of really cool things in the world today. Would you give me the privilege of just getting in on what you're doing in the world? Help me to see it. Keep my eyes open so that I can be a part of it. You know, one of the things our church needs to be doing right now, not just going after people who are unchurched, people who don't know Christ, people who are lost without salvation, but we need to go after people who are de-churched. In the last couple of years, a lot of people left their church for different reasons, because of this reason or that reason or this reason or that reason, and they're out there floating around. I've never seen more floating Christians than I see right now. One of the things we should be doing, vision, is taking advantage of that, reaching out to people who have lost their church home. Vision is not projecting the future. It's seeing what God's doing right now and saying, God, let me get in on it. Let me tell you what else vision is. Second meaning of vision. Vision is seeing how you can use a good idea. Maybe somebody else thought it up, but you could use it in your own situation. That's real vision. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15 says this: wise men and women are always learning, always listening, learning and listening for fresh insights. Did you know that it says there, a mark of wisdom, a mark of intelligence, a mark that you're wise, is that you learn. You can learn from other people. The fact that you're here in a church service right now means you're brilliant, because you're trying to learn the ways and will of God as I and other people teach you. Willingness to learn is actually a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of wisdom. So I honor you for even being a part of this service. Let me tell you a second key to making it through the rough times. The habits that help you hold on in hard times: keep my life clean and keep my eyes open. Right now is a good time to be learning something new. Leaders never stop learning. All leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning, you stop leading. If you want to be a leader, you got to be a learner. Now, here's an interesting thing. You can learn from anybody if you just know the right questions. I learn from all kinds of people. I could sit down with you, and in 5 minutes, I could get you to teach me something I don't know. Why? The fact is, everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. You know some things I don't know. I know some things you don't know. The person next to you knows some things that neither of us know. That's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Never stop learning. I learned from churches bigger than Saddleback. I learned from churches smaller than Saddleback. I learned from my enemies. In fact, that makes you smarter than your enemies because they don't learn from you, but you can learn from them. Now, let me talk to you for just a second about this second key, because it's a habit for holding on in hard times. You don't have to think something up for it to work. I heard about a pastor once told me, he said, I'm going to be original or nothing. You know what? He was both. You can't think up everything. I don't have to think up something for it to work. You don't have to be the originator of something that works in order for it to work in your life. Okay? That's dumb. If you think you can't imitate, copy, or learn from other people, well, it's nonsense. Practically everything you learned was by imitation. You learned to walk by imitation. You learned to talk by imitation. You learned to eat by imitation. Most of the stuff you learn by watching other people. So you don't have to think something up for it to work at your business, in your home, at school. You just have to keep your eyes open for what is working. Keep your life clean. Keep your eyes open. And during tough times, that's when you need to be more in a learner's attitude than any other time. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, New Jerusalem Bible says this, brothers, this is Paul talking, brothers, be united in imitating me. Circle that word, imitating. Brothers, be united, Paul says, you guys should imitate me. Keep your eyes fixed on those who act according to the example that you have from me. Did you know that 4 times in the Bible, Paul encourages imitation? He says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, for a long time, I couldn't imagine ever saying that myself. Hey, you guys, follow me as I follow Christ. It just seemed so arrogant, seemed so prideful. But you know what I finally realized after watching human behavior is that everybody learns from imitation. And I'd rather have people follow my example than some rock star who's making no effort at all to follow Christ. At least I'm making the effort. I stumble, I fall, I make mistakes, I'm imperfect, but at least I'm trying. I would rather have people follow your example than follow somebody who's making no attempt at all to follow Christ, because at least you're trying. Anytime I see anybody else who's doing something good or being effective in some way, I say, amen, brother, now teach me how to do that too. The truth is, we all learn best by imitation, but you got to keep your eyes open. As I said, everything that you've seen in life was pretty much modeled for you. You know, there's that verse in the Bible where it says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Why? Why does God resist the proud? When I'm prideful, it means I'm unteachable. I don't think you can teach me anything. You can't teach me anything about the world. You can't teach me anything about life. You can't teach me anything about worldview. That kind of pride shuts God's power down in your life. But when you say, Lord, teach me today, even as I'm going through hard times, I want to hold on with the habits that help me hold on. One of the habits is keep your eyes open. Okay, be teachable. I read an article a while back in Harvard Business Review in which it said, imitation often beats innovation. Right now, innovation's like an idol in our society. Everybody wants to be an innovator. Everybody wants to be the person that thinks up something new, something different, something creatively that nobody... Innovation's a good thing. But if something's working, why reinvent the wheel? Often, imitation is more important than innovation. You find somebody doing something good and succeeding, imitate it. You see, what's more important than innovation, which we've made a god, we've made it an idol, is keeping your eyes open to doing what God is doing. As I said, don't pray, God bless what I'm doing. Look around, see what God is doing, what God is blessing, and say, God, help me to do what you're blessing. Does your pride keep you from learning from other people? That's going to make hard times even harder. Here's my prayer for you right now. For those of you who are struggling, barely making it, Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you can understand, you'll finally comprehend, you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those he has called. I don't know what kind of hard time you're going through right now. I honestly don't know what you're facing. I care about it. I love you, and I'm praying for you. But I know that the habits that I shared today, that if you will do these things, you will not just thrive and survive tough times, but you can actually thrive in them. All right? This week, I want you to work on keeping my life clean. Make that sin list, confession, get your life clean out. Keep my life clean. Keep my eyes open. Keep my heart grateful. But you know, all of it starts with the power of God in your life. And if you don't know Christ personally, you don't have that power in your life. You may know about Christ. Oh, I know Jesus Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. But you've never had a relationship with him. Let me ask you this. Christian, non-Christian, whatever you are, have you ever come to a crisis point in your life where you have completely surrendered every area of your life, every area of your life, to God's loving control? Have you ever come to a point, complete surrender of every area of your life to God's loving control? Maybe you've done that and you start trying to take it back. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus Christ the manager of your life right now? To become a Christian means you put on a sign that says, I'm under new management. I'm not trying to call the shots in my life anymore. I'm trying to go with the plan of God, and I want God directing my life. If Jesus Christ is not the manager of your life right now, it's no wonder it's a mess. And it's no wonder you're struggling to hold on in hard times. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, or you need to re-surrender your life to Christ, I want you to follow me in this prayer. Let's bow our heads. Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, as honestly as I can see it, I want you to be the manager of my life. Just tell that to God. Dear God, I want your son, Jesus, to be the manager of my life. I want to surrender every area of my life to you. I surrender my finances. I surrender my future. I surrender my health and my body. I surrender my relationships. I surrender my dreams. I surrender my sex life. I surrender every part of me to you. I want you to call the shots. And in these hard times, I want to develop the habits that help me hold on. Help me to have a clean life, that I keep my life clean. And this week, I want to spend time with you doing a cleansing project. Help me to not just keep my life clean. Help me to keep my eyes open and see what you're trying to teach me in these hard times. And Lord, help me to keep a grateful heart and to realize literally everything is a gift from you. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now and take over. I want to be a part of your family. I want you to save me. I want to trust you. If you've never been baptized the way Jesus said, say, Jesus, I want to be baptized as a public demonstration that you have changed me and are changing me and will change me in the future. And I commit to being baptized. And I ask you this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Might you have just prayed that prayer? If so, welcome to the family of God. And if you're unsure of what it means to ask Jesus into your heart, to be his disciple, to see him as Lord and Savior of all your life, I'll give you an 800 number, and there's trained counselors. It's a free call. They're great folks, and they'll answer all your questions about the Christian faith. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Can you trust in the Bible? How is God three yet one? Maybe some of the mysteries as you've read God's word and you want to know more, or just somebody to pray with you and to share what it means to follow Jesus and to be an ambassador for God. You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. You've been listening to a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. The series has been titled Shaping Your Future Self. And yesterday and today, we focused on habits that help you to hold on during hard times. Yesterday, we looked at keeping your life clean. and the importance of having a clear conscience, how you gotta keep on keeping on. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. But as you confess those sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Having those clean hands will make you stronger and stronger. And also keeping your eyes open. Look for those God sightings. See where God's at work. Have that vision and then take action and be grateful. Keep your eyes fixed on the good things, always learning, always listening for fresh insights. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can click on the program or right-click on it and paste it into an email and send it off to a friend. Next Tuesday, we'll continue with this part 5, Habits That Will Help You to Hold On During Hard Times, and we'll look at keeping your purpose firm, keeping your heart grateful, and then we'll learn why to be grateful during hard times, because God will give you strength, because bad times can't change God's plan, and because your life is being changed, you can reflect on the glory of the Lord as you become that brand new person He's going to work in and through. We'll also learn the 5 purposes God has for your life. 1, He wants you to know Him and love Him, basically worship. 2, He wants you to belong to His family, fellowship. 3, He wants you to grow spiritually to be like Jesus, discipleship. 4, He wants you to serve Him by serving others, that's your ministry. And 5, He wants you to invite others to know Him, that's your witness. That'll be covered next Tuesday and Wednesday during Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.